in our new collaboration with Raydon Solicitors, award-winning specialist family and divorce law firm here in St Albans. I'm chatting with Claire Wood, and today we're following on from our first conversation on prenups, but we're looking at postnups, and I'd never even heard of this before. So Claire, tell us all about postnups.
Yeah, so a postnup is essentially a very similar thing to a prenuptial agreement, but it's the timing of it. So a postnuptial agreement is entered into postnuptials after the marriage, but it has the same effect as a prenuptial agreement. So rather than being entered into before marriage, so when the rights haven't yet accrued, it's entered into during the currency of a marriage.
Once you're married, what have you got to bargain with, whether you're going to have it or not?
Absolutely. And this is often part of the advice. If someone comes to me and they're kind of just before marriage, and so there's not enough time to enter into a prenup, I will say to them, there is this option of a postnuptial agreement, but be careful, because as soon as you're married, the rights are there, so that you both have rights as a married couple. And what's the negotiation? What's the bargaining tool? But there are some circumstances where a postnup, where both parties agree to enter into a postnup, and those are potentially if there's been a change of circumstances. So I talked to you earlier about this case where a father said to his children, "I want to gift to you during my lifetime, but I'm not going to unless you and your spouse agree to enter into a postnup." And so that's one circumstance in which a postnup, it's quite easy to say to your spouse, "Look, my father will only give us this money if you enter into this agreement." Also, if there's been a change of circumstances, for example, a new business venture, sometimes the memorandum of association, the articles of association and the shareholders agreement requires a husband or wife to protect those shares from any claim from a wife. And so again, it may be that a new business venture requires parties to enter into a postnup. Sometimes postnups are called reconciliation contracts, so it's another way of presenting them. And perhaps you've had difficulties in the marriage and the financial issues are part of that, and sometimes one of the parties wants some security. So perhaps if all of the assets are in one party's name and the other says, "Look, I just want some security, I want some things in my name, I want security in the event we get divorced," that's again another reason for a postnup, perhaps changing the way assets are owned. And a couple saying, "Look, we've had difficulties, we've reached this point, let's enter into a postnup so that we both know if it doesn't work, if we don't manage to reconcile, that this is all in place and, you know, we both know what the financial outcome is going to be." But it's absolutely right that there's less of an impetus on that person to enter into a postnup. They are not as popular as prenups for that reason.
Now we're going to get on to the very interesting part. How much do these things cost?
Okay, so costs really range depending on the complexity. Where are the assets? So have we got worldwide assets? What are the asset structures? But for a simple prenup advising on or drafting, you're looking at a couple of £1,000. So that's as a very minimum. And the reason for that is that it's not just, "Oh, Claire, I just want you to draft up a one-page document and we'll both sign it and then we'll all go on our merry way." It's quite an involved document. It's usually negotiated. We have to give really comprehensive advice, because if you are giving up rights and giving up financial claims as a result of that document, I need to advise you on that and to sign a certificate at the end of the agreement that says I've given you that advice and that you've understood that advice. So it is quite an involved process, and I'd say, you know, a few thousand is not uncommon. And I think you've got to question the experience of your lawyer if they are doing it for a few hundred pounds. You know, it isn't just a one-page document, as I've said.
You're almost acting like a counsellor, aren't you? Because I can imagine these people all in love, all about to get married, all excited. Mm. And they're like, "Yeah, whatever, I'll just sign anything, I'm marrying.
No, and that's I find that the interesting part of this job, because I'll have a client sitting in front of me saying, "Well, this is just an insurance, but I don't need to worry about this. It's an insurance policy. Why would I need to worry?" And I say to them, "Well, look, project yourself 10 years on. Perhaps you've given up a career. Perhaps you've had children. Perhaps you decided to give up your job in banking to enable your husband or your wife to pursue their career, and you've got children, young children at home. How will that agreement impact you then? How would you feel if you are kept to a small housing provision when they are off living in a multi-million pound house?" So it's not counselling. I'm not a counsellor, I'm a lawyer, but it's more about predicting the future and saying to clients, "Imagine yourself in this scenario in the future. You know, how will you feel if this is the outcome? How will you feel if you're left with this amount and they're left with that amount?"
Two people decide to have a prenup. What's the process involved? How long does it take? What do they have to do?
Yeah, so I've already said that the best practice is to enter into it at least 28 days before the wedding. So you want to be getting on with it a good 3 months out, I'd say. Both parties are separately represented, so each will have their own lawyer. Standard for one lawyer to draft the agreement, and it's then sent to the other party, and then the other party's lawyer will usually make some amendments to it and will negotiate. So we have to give financial disclosure within the agreement, so that can take some time. Usually a schedule, not usually with supporting documents, but you will schedule out what property interests or business interests or bank accounts, savings each party has. And then crucially, we give detailed advice on the impact of the agreement, on the effect of it. And that takes some time to sit down with a client and to explain to them the consequences of this very detailed agreement that they're signing.
So for me, I think of prenuptial agreements and postnuptial now I know about them as only for the rich and famous. You know, is it becoming more common?
Yeah, I don't think that's right anymore. I think before we had that big case in 2010, it was probably for the rich. So the rich would get prenups and nobody else really knew about them. They are much more popular. We are seeing many more couples entering into them. Couples who are starting married life equally. And so both of them with good earning capacities who want to perhaps live more financially independent lives, they will look at prenups. And certainly couples who don't have vast assets but perhaps are on their second marriages and want to protect what they have acquired prior to this new relationship. So I would definitely say they are not just the American concept of, you know, have you got your prenup in place? They're not just for very wealthy people. Many couples from different backgrounds are coming and taking advice and entering into these agreements.
And all ages as well, or is it mostly kind of second marriages and stuff?
Definitely all ages. My clients have ranged from young couples getting married to older couples with their second marriages, and clients from Europe, so clients who have French clients particularly, are very used to the concept of having a marriage contract. And so young couples who are living here, young European couples living here, very often consult me and have a prenuptial agreement in place, and it's the norm for them. They're not put off by it at all.
Thank you so much, Claire, for talking to us about this today. Can you summarise prenups and postnups in 30 seconds?
So most important thing to remember, I think prenups and postnups are designed to give peace of mind, to give some certainty, to ensure there are no nasty surprises and unnecessary costs if the worst occurs and the parties end up divorcing. I think my main piece of advice is to ensure you've got a good lawyer who understands, yes, the financial side and the legal side, but also the emotional side of negotiating a prenup. And that really goes to making sure the agreement is fair to give it the best chance of being upheld.
Thank you so much to Claire Wood from Raydon Solicitors for sharing this vital information with us. You can find out more about Raydon Solicitors and these podcasts on our website at radioverulam.com.